from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you're just wrapping up the night shift or on your way to start the day, we got what you need.
Welcome to the morning shift.
It's the most mid-team in history.
A whole new way to start your day with nationally televised reporter Tiffany Blackman.
Any pizza for me can be a personal.
Can't wait.
Former Falcons and Alabama offensive lineman Mike Johnson.
I've had my butt chewed by Nick Saban a few times.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
And Atlanta sports radio guru Bo Morgan.
Do you know who I am? I'm Squid Bill.
You tell him I'm coming! And hell's coming with me, you hear?
It's a new experience.
And a new take on a sports morning show.
The morning shift is on.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
Welcome to Monday, another week. We are just matriculating right through the month of August. We have week zero college football coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, congratulations to all those that observe. You know what I mean? Week zero.
Week zero. Such a weird name. And by the way, yes, this is a morning shift. Triple in for Tiffany today and tomorrow. So you get me tomorrow as well, ladies and germs. And Falcons going to conclude the preseason on Friday night at home against Jacksonville, which is what they always do. They always end the preseason against Jacksonville, it seems like. Gentlemen.
Oh, Miami and Jacksonville, I think. Of the 5 years I was here, I think we played both of those teams every single year. Like, every single year, Miami and Jacksonville in the preseason.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've been to Jacksonville and Miami or, you know, during the preseason. I think I've been down there maybe twice for regular season games to Miami. And I know, I think maybe a couple of times for Jacksonville, but I've been way more times as preseason games with being on the team because I've been traveling with the team since 2012. So, and now also that feels weird now. I was talking to one of the flight attendants and she was like, "Hey, how many of these people on this plane were originals when you started traveling?"
Oh, they have the same flight attendant basically for.
So one of the flight attendants, Monica, she's an OG. She's been doing it for a long time with the team.
Before I was there.
Yeah. I think she might have been.
Is she like thrice divorced, desperate for attention? Or
No. She's happily married. She's a great golfer.
Really?
Yeah. So she's an OG because all the other, the flight attendant I was talking to, her name is Corey. She's only been traveling the team since 15. And she was like, we were talking the other day, and there's only like, we can only name like 6 or 7 people on this plane that were. We're traveling with the team when we started traveling. She's like, and you're one of them. And I'm like, yeah. I was like, and it's funny because me, Arch, and Wes are all there. And then you got people like Jimmy Hay Equipment and Danny Long and Lloyd, the guy that does it. He's been traveling, I think, the whole time I've been. He's been traveling since like 04. So there's like, it's just a turnover. It's crazy. You get so much turnover, but that's what an NFL team is.
Were you there when the redhead that did the Delta video, the evacuation video, was actually the flight attendant? That was a crazy day, dude.
If I was, I was completely oblivious to it. I'm gonna tell you something. My first 2 years traveling with a team, I didn't notice anything but how much food I could eat on the plane.
Yeah.
Like that's all I cared about was eating on the plane.
The day that the redhead that did the personal flotation device video was actually a flight attendant on the plane was a big day. Everybody, you know, she's just walking back, handing out bags of chips, and we're like, hey, wait a minute, hey.
Like a celebrity.
And you're watching her, and she's pulling the ripcord on the personal flotation device and put it around your neck, and whoosh, and you're like, that's her. No. We felt like we had met a celebrity.
No, but all seriousness, I don't remember, because all I cared about in those first few trips was eating as much food as I could get. I would get on the plane and eat a Chick-fil-A sandwich, and then I would get the in-flight meal, and then I would then we would go out to eat that night. Like I tell you what, if I did it now.
Yeah, I'll tell you this much, and I know that you're Saturday school. What time did you get home Saturday night? I know you were texting me driving through Midtown.
Yeah, I pulled in my driveway about 8:30.
Yeah, good for you. That's about time we kicked it off for the late the Douglas County Cedar Grove game.
Saturday. Yeah, how long was your day on?
I rolled in here. Let's see. I rolled into this studio about 8:40. Tried to break into Squid's office. That's a whole other story for another day. And then I think I got home at 12:30 a.m. Just about. So it was pretty lengthy. As some would say, man.
You don't realize how fatigued when you do so much broadcasting after a while.
Well, and two, the game we called, not really the most exciting game. Shout out Douglas County, man. They're averaging about 295 up front on the offensive line.
That's
and
crazy,
just an
dude.
Absolute set of
That's
studs.
Like the NFL average. I mean, from 1988.
I have seen college offensive lines that do not average as much as they averaged up front. Just playing bully ball, man, with Cedar Grove. And Cedar Grove played hard, man, but just, you know, there's only so much you can do, right? And so that one ended up getting out of hand towards the end. You know how it is. You have a little bit of that fill time on air, and you're like, well, what'd you do last night? You know,
that's where the baseball guys are really good. Trying to. And speaking of baseball, Braves come back 6-4 road trip, and now we need the latest on Austin Riley. Takes a 95-mile-an-hour fastball off his wrist, and you know, guys, there's a lot of bones in there. So X-rays inconclusive, and that's all we need is another one.
I'm sitting there in the basement, me and the dog, and I've got the Braves game on, and I just screamed out an expletive as soon as I said you blank. Like I was just so there was a moment, and me and Mike were going back there and watching stuff this morning on it, and Arcia, I mean, absolutely gets into one, and it should have been in the gap, right? Should have been a gapper, and. The right fielder makes a great dive and play, and Arcia is seen in the dugout slamming his helmet.
Yeah, he was upset, man.
And Mike brought it up to me, and I said, I feel the frustration because they are playing snake bitten. Everything that could happen to this team, every hurdle or obstacle keeps getting thrown in their way. And at this point, if they get to the playoffs with half of the opening day roster starters, I think you might be happy because
still two games up in the wild card, by the way.
Yeah, and you're only 2.5 out of the second wild card with Diamondbacks.
Seven behind the Phillies, who lost yesterday to the Nats.
Rolling in here for a 3-game set, and so maybe Lopez will be back Tuesday. Maybe that's what I'd read from David Bryan. But you just got to feel like how much more can be thrown at this team.
Yeah,
it's time for an exorcism. We need to call in a Catholic priest.
We need
five Catholic priests.
Is that what it is? They said preliminary image is inconclusive, which leads me to believe that. And I've been in some of these settings. Sometimes when you're at these stadiums, they don't have like the greatest, X-ray machines. It's just kind of one of these, you know, that they have for just small images and things.
You know,
like
they
that,
actually took him to a clinic like around the corner.
Is that what they did?
The game, yeah.
Yeah. So
what a wellness clinic,
like that. Yeah, the 24-hour wellness.
24-hour, the urgent.
He's
care.
Sitting out there with the woman and the crying baby with his Braves uniform on, just waiting.
Dude, you think they sent somebody with him? I know.
Real talk, we had a kid when I was coaching high school ball a few years ago. Snapped his arm, like I mean, just Ooh. Wicked snap.
Eesh.
And You know, we text him like 3 or 4 hours later. You know, he goes straight to the hospital. 3 or 4 hours. Oh, I'm still in the waiting room. Like, what? Like, you snapped your humerus like a toothpick. Oh, yeah, God. Yeah. They gave me some ice and some pain medication. I'm just sitting in the waiting room. I'm like, this is the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. Like, get this kid back to emergency surgery.
They rubbed some mud on it, too, for him while he was waiting?
I guess so, man. Got, you know, ended up having surgery in the middle of the night once they saw him. They're like, oh, yeah, this is going to have to be operated. Might need a rod in there. Go ahead and head back. Start your drip. Like, my gosh, man. Get this guy in the back.
No, I just can't. I don't know what else to say. I mean, they won. I thought it was a good win yesterday too.
Massive.
It was a win. You know, a series win. Your bats were a little off yesterday, but you actually, and everybody yells and about how this team plays. You know, oh, you gotta play more small ball. Well, if you watched yesterday, that is exactly what they did. Olsen came up with an opposite field hit on the first inning on a sinker that, you know, scored
good
a run.
Piece of hitting, yeah.
Laureano hits another solo shot. He's had a little pep in his step lately, which is good to see because, you know, you give him guys like, you know, Duvall days off, and I don't know how long he'll be for this team.
Soler may be back.
Hopefully. You need him back because he would miss the entire weekend. And then, Rob, you load the bases, and Kelnick doesn't. I mean, he put a rod into one, but all he did was make contact, put it out there, sack fly, and you're able to win the game 3-1.
That's one of the warning track in center.
Yeah. So, I mean, and Morton gave you as much as he – I mean, it was interesting they took him out when they did. Me and Mike had this conversation. But he gave you 5 1/3 pretty good innings. He got in a little bit of trouble in that fifth inning.
Well, he got out of the bases loaded jam and coached that double that play was, to end the inning.
That was the huge. Biggest play. That might have been the biggest play of the year, Rob. I was telling that to Bo, and I watched a little bit yesterday after the kid's birthday party. And I'm like, you know, this craziness going on in my house, and I'm just that guy standing behind the couch peering at the TV in the living room going, oh, my God, if they don't get out of this. Well, it runs like it's, you know, the offense has had so many ups and downs, and I know they've had times in the last week plus and on this road trip that they've exploded, but yesterday was not one of them. And especially as bad as, you know, Kukanovich or, you know, however you say the starting pitcher's name yesterday. I've butchered that name 3 times already this morning. But look, when they rolled that double play over in the fifth inning with Charlie Morton, the way he had been throwing the ball early and then all of a sudden loses his grip on it in the fifth inning, I was like, that might have been the biggest ground ball of the entire season when Morton got it to roll.
Another good series for the most part from your starting pitching. I mean, you look at you had, what about, 16 to 17 innings from the three, and they only gave up 6 earned runs. I know Schwellenbach struggled a little bit on Friday, but still gave you 5 innings and struck out 8, only walked 2. But Chris Sale continues his dominance, Rob. 10 strikeouts again on Saturday.
Well, why don't we come back and brag on him?
And then we'll get into some of this Baltimore Falcons game. What we saw.
I know that beautiful metropolis is known as. Did you at least get some crab cakes?
Well, I can't eat crab cakes, but
why?
Because they're crab and that's shellfish, and I'm allergic.
Oh, are you?
But Gordon Robinson, who was with us, he engineered the game for us. He got crab cakes, and I found the most expensive bacon in the world.
All right, that's coming up next on the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 929 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to get on down now.
We're talking all things Atlanta sports and beyond. This is The Morning Shift.
Make some noise!
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This hour of The Morning Shift brought to you by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm, morganandmorgan.com. Welcome back to The Morning Shift. Braves Country and me and Squid and Mike and Dylon and Day-Day holding our collective breaths because yet another potential catastrophic injury facing our Atlanta Braves. Austin Riley takes a 95-mile-an-hour pitch off his wrist, that area with tons and tons of bones. So now is it turned into a sock filled with pebbles and rocks is a big question. Braves complete that 10-game road trip, 6-4 on that trip. Come home off day today. Two games up in the wild card over the Mets in that third slot. Seven games behind the Phillies, who come to Truist starting tomorrow night. And let's hear from Brian Snitker talking about Austin Riley.
Yeah, everything was, all the tests he had here were inconclusive, so we're just going to have to wait till tomorrow and get him to our people and have him run through the, you know, CT and all that kind of stuff when we get home.
So the x-rays showed nothing?
They were inconclusive. So, like I say, till we get him home with our people and the things, we won't know.
Oh, you dumb reporter. What part of inconclusive do you not understand?
Well, it could be an inconclusive test where they just grabbed his finger and just pulled it around and thought, hey, does that hurt? Yeah. Or did you take an actual image of it? And I'll say this, man. If you never have dealt with different x-ray machines, if you've only gotten them done at like a hospital, here's what I'll say. X-ray machines are a lot like printers, right? There's some that you can just throw in your book bag and plug in and then, you know, shoot out a piece of paper and it doesn't look very good. Or you can have the $5,000 rig back in the office that shoots out the 1080p kind of thing going on. So there's a little bit of both. They wanted a little bit better image, obviously, when you talk about hairline fractures and things like that, you get a chance to look at. But I was sick watching it yesterday, hoping the best for him because he's been hot.
Imagine how sore and tender that thing is as he wakes up this morning.
Can't be good. Oof. Can't be good for sure.
Lord have mercy. All right, well, there you have it as far as that goes. Falcons, 13-12 losers. Oh, my gosh, we need a new kicker. Oh, no.
Hey, now, my mom was not happy with Youngway. She's like, what's going
on
with
him? She's ready to run him out of town, huh? She's going to cut his butt right there.
Yeah, she was just like, well, they'd have won if he could have made those kicks. And I said, well, I said, Mom, it's preseason. It ain't that big of a deal. She's like, well, I always want him to win. And I go, no, me too, but I'd trade a January win for an August win any day of the week.
Right.
You know?
And plus, I hear, from what I understand, versa, when you miss left like he does with a right as a right-footed kicker, that's an easy adjustment rather than if you're pushing it to the right. That's what I've heard.
He's always been more of a, 6-12 style kicker than most. You know,
what do you mean by that?
He offsets as much of an angle towards the ball as other. You know, he's kind of
He's a lot more straight on. Yeah.
Okay. He always has been, and he kind of does that thing right as he walks back where he kind of adjusts his hips.
That shoulder,
like, loosen these babies up real quick, make sure I get this leg swung around. And you know what? It's funny because we've always had the conversation. I know we're going to get into all the roster management, things like that. We've always had this conversation about Youngway being, top five in terms of field goals in history, in terms of how accurate he's been. It is funny to me because a lot of times kickers in a dome get a bad rap, and then you think about where he's kicking and who kicks there, and it's Justin Tucker. And you're like, guy's been pretty accurate throughout his career, too. I don't know if anybody's ever noticed.
Ever do it, yeah.
Yeah, and so you're like, well, he's outside, outdoors. Wasn't a wind blowing from what I could see, Bo?
No, there was a little bit of a wind.
A little bit of wind. I couldn't see the ribbons moving on top of the post, but I thought, that's not an excuse.
Now, you're making excuses for him.
He's kicked there his whole career, man.
I wonder if, Justin Tucker is a one percenter when it comes to how good he is with, kicking. But you could also be the setup, too. It could be that maybe Pinion was had a slight little lean.
Did you say Arch noticed a little bit of a lean?
Well, he said that if there was one, that it could, if there's a little bit of a lean when you hold it, that it can do that as well. It could have been something as simple as that.
Didn't Arch do the holding when he was here?
I know he's done it. I don't know where he did it, but he and I had talked about he has done that before, but I'm not really sure where.
Oh, by the way, Arch will be joining us this morning.
Yeah, and I'm interested to get Arch's take on quite a few things, including this defense and who and where do you make moves? Because I mean, I go through here, Rob, and you didn't play Kentavious Street, Grady Jarrett, Eddie Goldman, Onyemata, TQ Graham, and Zach Harrison. None of those guys played. I tend to think that all of those guys are safe. The only one I had a real question about was Eddie Goldman and whether he had a roster spot or not. Like, had he done enough? Because I think Street and Jarrett are good. I think Onyemata and obviously, you know, Zach Harrison, and I've always thought TQ Graham had a spot. But you got to remember that you're not going to cut Dorless or Arororo either. And Arororo and Dorless played really well. And before anyone wants to chime in about who they were playing against, as far as from what I've been told or come to understand about how this offensive line for the Ravens is shaping up, they played three starters for the entire first half. So if that's the case, if they are going to start Voorhees, Fa'alele, and Rosengarten, then your defensive line didn't look terrible against them at all. In fact, I thought Dorless, Mike, and Arororo played very good, and Arororo had a sack.
I got to tell you, man, this front three, we're going to call them, because it is a 3-4 style defense. The front three, when you look at the numbers they're going to keep and the guys that they're going to have to cut if and when, there is a lot of magic they're going to have to pull as far as roster management goes.
Oh, you got to get down to 53 by next Tuesday, by a week from tomorrow.
And look, 25 of those, maybe 26 if you really want to screw with it, are defensive spots. And then you go down to the fact that you have three defensive line slots that are starters, and you start getting eight deep of guys that you have to keep almost. It's really going to get hairy, not only there, but back in the secondary and at the outside linebacker spot. I don't know how. I've broken it down front ways, back ways, sideways. I don't know how they get down to 25 in that defensive side of the room.
Not to mention you're adding an edge for player, and you're adding a secondary player in the safety.
Yeah.
So that's now I think it's safe, and I know we're getting a little bit early into this. We all agree that Ebikadi, Lamon, Anderson, Ellis, and maybe Zoe aren't going anywhere, right? But then, you know, I thought James Smith-Williams was kind of a lock on this team to be on the roster. He played some Saturday, mate, which tends to tell me, I don't know. J.D. Bertrand's not going anywhere. Now,
what about Richie Grant?
I think they have to keep Richie Grant for now. Because you're gonna almost certainly keep four safeties.
Yeah.
And he's one of those four, unless they, for whatever reason, decide Dane Cruikshank or Micah Abernathy are worth that slot. I just don't know how that Richie
How many
Grant
on the practice squad now? Is it 17?
16.
16.
16 guys, which is way more than it was when I was playing.
And
did you have like six or seven?
I think it was. Yeah, I think
it was 10.
Seven. It wasn't
10 yet?
No, it wasn't 10 yet. I want to say it was 7 or 8.
Yeah.
When I was playing. And that you had to have a lid on how long those guys, if they were more than 3 years in the league, they couldn't play on P squad. I was, last year Julio gets signed to Philly and plays on the practice squad. I'm like, what? What? How is that even possible?
And to give the owners credit, they have made it bigger. Obviously, they use the COVID as kind of a reason to expand it, and they never went away from it with the newest CBA. And I think part of that has to do with the fact that they are pushing for more games every year. They want an 18th game. They already got a 17th game. And to do that, you're going to have to practice squad. I think that what eventually needs to happen, and I would like to see someone talk about this, the practice squad, to even get there, you have to be cut, and then you have to clear.
You have to clear, yep.
And then you're unprotected, basically. If another team wants to come and sign you to their active roster, you're gone. I think they need to give you 16 spots with about six or seven protected spots.
No, you don't want that.
I would want that.
I'm sure you'd want that, but as a player, that's absolutely not what you want. You want, if you're not going to put me on the field and give me the minimum salary for an active player, then let me go somewhere else. I don't want a protected slot at all. But because what you're doing is you're robbing those guys of opportunities. Well, you know, let's just look down. Let's just say you wanted to get rid of a Jace McClellan,
but what if
somebody else is hard up for a running back? Now I can't go make money.
What if you pay those guys, and it doesn't count against the cap? What if you find out? And I know we're getting way off base of what we should be talking, but what if you pay those guys a minimum, like an active roster minimum?
Well,
like,
you're still taking away service time, though. I mean, you're still taking away service time towards pension, and that's the end-all, be-all for players.
If they're protected, though, I think that's something that has to be negotiated. You give them service time and all those things because it would be like essentially being on an active roster. It would kind of almost be like being on a 40-man roster, right, in baseball. Like, if you're on the 40-man roster, then
I think it only count towards your pension anyway, so that's, yeah.
Well, I don't disagree with that, and that's a topic to get down the road, but if I'm not mistaken, if you're on the 40-man roster of a team, it only counts as one call up for that year. Like
you have a limited number, yeah.
Like you have a limited number of call ups, but it counts as one if you're on the 40-man and you go back and forth from going. No, that's why you'll see some of the same guys do that. I'm might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
I thought it was like you get six the entire time you're on the 40 or something like that. Six call ups, but
no, I thought that was why you're under control or something, but there's so many nuances in all of these things that we don't understand that we have to go back and read.
Arch mentioned that during the broadcast, and he was like, me and Mike, and we talked about it during practice today. I was like, don't even get me started on like the NBA, Arch. I can't even start to talk about the NBA salary cap.
Hey, speaking of Arch, we need to go to break. Speaking of Arch, 820 going to be joining us. And coming up next, TB's timeout. It's the most wonderful time of the year. That's next on the Morning Shift Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Good morning.
Yeah!
Back to more of the Morning Shift
with Tiffany, Mike, and Bo on Sports Radio 929 The Game.
It's time for a timeout on the Morning Shift Sports Radio 929 The Game.
I was robbed. They tried.
You were robbed. Who was robbed?
What was that?
Welcome back.
Dylan, what are you watching back there? No, I need to worry about it. I'm management here, and I hear people being robbed and some kind of weird
Get
thing
it under
Dylan's
control
into.
Back there, Dylan.
Oh, gentlemen, I am so freaking excited. Most wonderful time of the year. Week zero. Coming up on Saturday, Florida State, 11.5-point favorite against the Yellow Jackets of Georgia Tech.
That's Give me the jackets.
That's gonna be a noon kickoff. I'm so optimistic about Georgia Tech, but I don't want to get too optimistic. I know a lot of people have them winning about 6-7 games. I think they might be a little better than that.
To push the chips in, Rob.
You got your quarterback Haynes King coming back. Haynes King's a problem for a lot.
He's a Jesse.
What does that mean? He's a Jesse.
It means he's a Jesse. It means he's a dime throwing Jesse.
Dime throwing Jesse.
He's a player.
He's getting it out there.
He's a player. Got SMU Nevada at 8:00 and over there at Old Turner Field, Center Park Stadium. Norfolk State and FAMU. FAMU going to be bringing that band up here, I'm sure. Does FAMU still have the best band? Are they still regarded as the best band in HBCUs? Pretty
best
much.
Band
They're
in
still
all
the standard.
I don't know.
Are they still hazing like they used to? Remember, those years ago, that poor Atlantic kid. During a hazing incident, he passed away during a hazing incident involving them. I was like, wow.
Who'd you say is at Center Park?
Norfolk State and FAMU, Florida A&M.
Okay.
How about this? Delaware State and Hawaii at midnight. If I come home all hammered on Saturday night, I would turn that
off. Well, you know what those are. Rob, you know what those are. For all the gamblers out there, that's when you've lost all your money all day.
What if they take one last swipe
at this thing?
I miss the Aloha Bowl they used to play.
That's the name of their stadium, I thought. The Aloha Bowl.
But they used to play.
They're still playing in that crappy old stadium.
Yeah, they used to play. They used to have like an Aloha Bowl, and then they had a Honolulu Bowl as well. I missed the Aloha Bowl. It was on. It was always on Christmas Day. You could always watch it. Because I remember Tech played in it like back in the early 90s, like 91, 92, something like that.
I think they played in that one the year after they won the national championship.
That's right. Yeah, Sean Jones was still there.
They played Stanford, I believe, in that game.
So that's right. You know, it's so weird to go back and I was watching something on TV the other day, and it was like going through, I guess, ACC national championships and was doing the Tech season.
Boy, and that Tech team was loaded, brother.
They played Nebraska. Imagine this. You play Nebraska in the
Citrus Bowl,
and you blow the doors on them, and yet people give a Colorado team with one loss and a tie.
And the fifth down
a share of that national title. That just shows you how ignorant voters are at times.
Oof. Oh, speaking of Colorado, are they on upset alert? Thursday the 29th, North Dakota State, who's won 9 of the last 12 FCS titles, and
I wouldn't want to be playing them, I can tell you that. I don't know. Look, upset alert's one thing, and I know they're going to have athletes, but, boy, you want to talk about a group of, and here I go again, Rob, Jessies. North Dakota State that just play the game with tenacity, and you play the game as a team. Oh,
didn't they beat Iowa a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
They've got some wins against that major program.
You don't want to play them.
Let me ask you a question. Does Deion leave Colorado for a better job, or is he fired at Colorado? How does it end there for him?
They're not going to fire him. There's no way. And it's simple. Well, it's simple math.
But if it doesn't work well for them, if it doesn't go well this year, and then, you know, there's a lot of stuff about the toxicity around the program with players and everything. I just wonder how it ends there, because it feels like the shine's come off a little bit of that whole situation.
Of course it has.
Especially,
it always does. Yeah.
Well, and he chose not to speak to reporters, local reporters the other day. Like, is a little bit, and I think he does it to, I think it's a marketing ploy in some ways, but it feels like it gets a little bit, like this everybody's against you kind of thing is I think it's far-fetched.
And then he makes himself a martyr, go, no, you're kind of alienating everybody.
I don't think everyone is against him. I think honestly, most people, like in the media, along with a lot of fans that were fans of him as a player, want to see him succeed. I don't think that everyone, I don't buy into that everyone's against
him succeed,
this.
But I want it to be real. You know, I the whole thing where there's a hype around it, and you get blown out by 30. I don't want to see that either.
Right.
But I will say this:
he made me want to watch Colorado Buffaloes football last year.
That's the problem, and that's why I don't think he'll ever get fired. Just from a sheer marketing standpoint. I mean, can you imagine? They had a game last year, and I don't remember if it was week 2, 3, or 4. It was the first 4 weeks, where you had Big Noon Kickoff from Fox and College Game Day both in town on the same day. you just, if you're a Colorado fan, there's no way you'll ever get rid, because the minute you win a couple of games in a row, you're always going to be back in the crosshairs of college football fans.
I think it's interesting to think about it. This is, you know, week zero, so you can talk about these kind of things, but where things go. I mean, I still think one of the best games of the season last year was Colorado TCU. That was one of the best games I watched all year.
Colorado State, that was a body bag game. That was like a battle scene from Braveheart.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
What is one of the things about college football this year that you still can't wrap your head around? Is because I have a couple of them that every time I think about college football this year, I'm like, golly, I'm not going to be able to get used to that.
12-team playoff, SMU and Stanford are ACC schools.
Right, I was about to say.
Along, you know,
and
like
Cal.
The fact that the USC and UCLA got to travel to
Oregon,
the
Ohio
North.
State's a conference game.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
And then add in, for me personally, the fact that Kalen DeBoer is going to be in Tuscaloosa is just, I don't think
that's weird, isn't it?
It is. And you add all that into mix, and that's just five things we just named. It's still, all five of those, I'm like, God, that's crazy.
I don't think Florida gets a directional school in November this year like we normally do. I mean, it's just crazy.
That penultimate game where you schedule the cupcake.
Above the four Florida State, but, you know, the fact that Florida and Georgia have two of the toughest schedules I've ever seen on paper. Florida has the toughest, but Georgia's is not a slouch either. I mean, they play Alabama at home and Texas.
We got
and
Clemson
Austin
a week from Saturday at Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah. I think all of those games were the first month and a half.
That's a heck of a run.
I mean, it's just...
Well, that's what we've been craving. We want those games.
We want them, but it's... Then when you get them, you're like, whoa.
I'll go ahead and give you a tease from Mike Dupp. We've got in Mike Dupp talking about college football, and that's in about an hour from now. A little under an hour from now, and I'm going to make a plea to Georgia fans. I've got a plea for you. I'm going to try to bring you around to what you are living through right now, because it is goes away quickly. I'll just say that.
Wow, you've already given up on DeBoer, huh?
Don't know what you got till it's gone. All right, this hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Hey, let's hear from Terry Fontenot coming up next. He had a pretty good week last week, at least on paper. We don't know how it's going to transpire on the field, but, hey, all signs are pointing in the right direction for the Atlanta Falcons. Coming up next on the Morning Shift, we are the flagship station of the Atlanta Falcons. Sports Radio 92.9 again.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.